This is a production of Cornell University.
Find your way to your seat. So, welcome everyone to the second meeting of the semester. Today is Monday, September 22nd. We have a few things to go over today. Some general housekeeping, the approval of the budget for new members. The GPSA must approve its own internal budget at the second regularly scheduled meeting of the year, as well as our bylaws, which must be approved at the our operating procedures as part of the bylaws must be approved at the second meeting every year. And in addition to that, we have a few presentations from some people, which we will get to in just a second. So, start off with a roll call of the voting members. So first, from Physical Sciences, Jeffrey. Andrea's here, I'm here, and Catherine, I'm not sure if she will be here. Humanities, Jesse?
Here.
Christy?
Here.
Christine?
Here.
Okay. From the Social Sciences, Paul emailed me, he won't be able to make it today. William?
Here.
Todd?
Here.
And Lynn?
Here.
For the Professional Schools, Alexander Thompson?
Here.
Biological Sciences, Cora?
Here.
Anne?
Here.
Ian?
Yes.
And for Masters, Ashley, who she emailed me, she won't be here. And Erwin. He might have emailed me as well, actually. Okay, so I believe that means we do have quorum. So we will go on to approval of the minutes. There was one grammatical error, which was pointed out to me already, just kind of throwing a word into page 2 of the minutes, but aside from that, are there any changes that anyone feels need to be made to the minutes? I realized today that they weren't actually sent out with the announcement of the meeting, and I apologize about that. Okay. Seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Okay. Second? Okay. Alright, so then we will approve the minutes by unanimous consent. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. For those not familiar with Robert's Rules of Order, approval by unanimous consent simply means that if there are no objections, then it is simply approved. Okay, so from there, then, let us move into our presentations for the evening. Jan will be joining us at around 6 to give her presentation about the Fall Financial Literacy Festival. So we are going to hear from Tarn. To talk to us a little bit about the International Students Board. I do have it.
So, hi everyone. My name is Han, and I'm from the International Student Board. We're an umbrella international organization on campus, and we take care of both grad and undergrad organizations. All the Cornell were finally funded by both SAFC and GPSAFC. So, what we do is we plan a lot of events, but one of our main functions is funding international events. So any sort of international or culture events, ranging from conferences to music to food, clubs can come to us and we'll fund them. They don't have to be an international club. As long as the event is promoting culture and internationalism, we fund them. Some past events that we always fund is Cornell China Conference, the Cornell Bangra, or Bulgarian Music Festival, anything from anywhere in the world. So what I'm here for today is one of our main goals within the past few years is to increase more awareness of ISB within the grad community because we're funded by the GPSAFC, and we have a few grad international clubs that come to us every year, but we would really like to see that number increase. So you guys ask the GPSA and, you know, members of the grad community, if you are in a club that is hosting any events that's cultural or international, or if you know of anyone, please feel free to email us at iscornell@gmail.com, and we'll help you, guide you through the funding process, and we'll make sure we help you make the best event possible. We also have a Facebook page where we update our international events that's going on campus on a weekly basis. And also, if you guys have any suggestions about how ISC can reach out to more international students, especially in the grad community, please feel free to also send it to our email, and we'll love to hear from you. Thank you so much.
And so now we'll hear from Christine.
I don't know why I went back into the fourth presentation mode.
Okay.
Okay.
So hi, I'm Diane. I'm one of the community voting members, and I'm part of the executive board last year. Hands up, how many people are new members this year? Okay, so I thought this would be good for a number of reasons to do this presentation. One, to give a history for you newer GPSA members about an ongoing issue of concern, and also to sort of illustrate the timeline of what happens when we actually pass a resolution or express concerns to graduate school about an issue that affects the community, how long it takes for policy changes to actually happen and be implemented. And also, I want to try to demonstrate what it sort of looks like to work with administration, which I think we do particularly well. And lastly, in this particular area about reduced tuition, I also want to indicate some future areas of improvement, because even as we work with the graduate school these changes, sometimes I think that there's still other fine tuning that can be done to make it better for our community. So this has to do with perhaps a concern that very familiar to us has in our program blogger, which is median time to degree, which according to the most recent annual graduate school report is 6.8 years for humanities, 5.7 years for life science, physical sciences 5.6 years, and social sciences 6 years. And of course, the typical funding package at Cornell is only covered up to 5 years. So the question becomes, what happens to those of us who go beyond that? And so these are the options. If all forms of funding run out, and you have enough faculty, and so your tuition won't be covered at all, your first option is to pay $29,500 tuition plus health insurance. But of course, if you don't want to pay about $30,000, what are your options? The two other forms of status that come up are leave of absence, which then would allow you to avoid having to pay that fee. However, this does mean forfeiting student status and also forfeiting access to facilities and services, which might be considered kind of important for finishing your degree and finishing your dissertation. The third option is to go in absentia, which is actually a status which is only meant to be a temporary leave for research purposes, but often ends up being used by people who are still trying to have access to facilities. But what the problem is that while it lasts for the tension of student status, you have to be 100 miles away from Cornell, which also sort of makes it kind of difficult to finish your dissertation. In particular, this puts a burden on international students. Because, first of all, when you lose student status, when you have a leave of absence, you lose your visa. Absentia often also means that you're unable to work at all because you're 100 miles away from Cornell, at least you're supposed to be. And so in both cases, that forces international students to go back to their home country. And of course, I believe graduate school community is overwhelmingly comprised of international students. And also that's a consideration in terms of trying to get funding to fill that gap between median time degree and guaranteed funding is that, of course, international students are not eligible for any form of funding in the U.S. because they're not citizens. Moreover, even though if there might be funding available through our home countries, it's not some awards cannot be taken internationally. And so this led to Resolution 17, which was about, so in 2013, which is about 2 academic years ago, and it passed in April 2013 with a vote of 13-1 in the Council of Voting Members. And in summary, it advocated for reduced tuition rates after the funding guarantee runs out, and whenever graduate students no longer have other sources of funding. And I would recommend that you look up this resolution online, it's available on Google, and have a much more comprehensive reasoning about those cooking policies and external pressures which prevent people from graduating within 5 years. And so a little bit of context about this. Why reduce tuition as a super answer for this? First of all, Cornell used to have a reduced tuition policy of $8,500 for post-exam students, and they had that in about 1997 to 1998, but then it was abolished. And it's also worth noting that if there's some sort of fear about the system being abused for people to stay a lot longer in their PhDs, of course we really want to stay longer in our PhDs, I'm sure, is that after 7 years anyway, you have to petition the graduate school to stay in the program. So there's a great sort of fix built into the system to prevent people who probably really love graduate school a lot and want to keep sticking out. But also, the thing is that with compared to our peer institutions, they have a reduced tuition rate after, typically after what their A exam is, post fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, some example. And so this is the amount of money that you pay afterwards. So Brown's about $2,500, Columbia about $3,000, Harvard $2,400, Penn $3,000, Princeton $4,000, and Yale $400. So again, if we're going to be comparing across the range to our peers, it looks like this is a place that we were conspicuously coming short. And so in last year, the GPSA executive was working with the graduate school administration for details about what reduced tuition would look like and also how to implement it. The other thing we were also working at the time, which is didn't want much attention, was splitting the K to second grade, but that's a different discussion. And so now the new policy, and so because this policy was only implemented after the last meeting of the GPSA last year, we never really had a forum to discuss it, which is why I thought it was particularly important to bring it to you guys today. First, to know what the history is, but also, like, now that the policy has finally come out, we can actually talk about it and see what did it do, which is good, and what may need to be improved on. And so the new policy as of this fall is that there is reduced tuition for self-K students in just their 6th and 7th years, and you get it by application only. And the cost, instead of paying $29,000, is $11,500. And now this cost also does not include the cost of the health insurance premium, which is about over $2,000. So this is still necessitates paying about $13,000, $14,000 for those who have no funding whatsoever. And so this is a concern, which is that the cost is rather high for these students, graduate students in position where they have absolutely no funding. And also another consideration that came up in our discussion was like, well, you can take on debt because educational debt. But of course, I think it's very clear for those up here that graduate school debt is not like taking on undergraduate debt in terms of the type of money that you get back within your career. It just doesn't work the same way. Another issue of concern is that it's only limited to people in their 6th and 7th year of the program. And so after the 7th year, supposedly you're self-paced, you go back to paying $30,000. And of course, the problem with this is that international students are still the most affected by this policy because they cannot earn money off campus and are vulnerable due to their visa status. So while those that meet perhaps citizen students could take on odd jobs to try and cover that cost, international students were not allowed to work at all, anymore work off campus because of their visa status. So going forward, these are the particular issues I see, and I should have explained that I was one of the authors of the original Resolution 17. So after the graduate school track applications reduced tuition, as I'm sure they're doing this year, I said suggestions would be like, do you actually mark if there's any sort of reduction going on with people using it as a way to stay on their program and not being productive? But also to see what the number of applicants would be. And also, the hope is to perhaps open the tuition after the 7 year. Report to lower the cost of reduced tuition, which again, at about $11,000, is still far higher than all of our peer institutions. Granted, of course, we have no reason than down into Harvard and Yale, but as you can see, it's still like half as much more, at least, than the highest amount of peer institutions. And also, too, for this, I would want to encourage graduate school to continue to consider ways to reduce the time degree without reducing the quality of the degree. That's the end of my presentation. I guess if there's time, I can take questions. Yes,
so, like, where does the tuition money go? Because I'm assuming it doesn't go to the department.
Yeah.
Because most people get a tuition waiver, and it seems like it's just a lot of bookkeeping. So why have they been so reluctant to lower it? It's mostly just shuffling money around and not really a source of revenue generation.
That's a good question. Because, of course, it's sort of odd that the tuition waiver, it doesn't seem like real money until suddenly you have to suddenly pay for all of it. I think it is for bookkeeping between departments. And so the argument that we got, because we're really trying to push why exactly does it have to be this amount of money, is that this is the minimum cost per student. And of course the argument is also going to be that when we're later on our degrees, we're no longer taking classes, we're no longer using resources the same way as those people who would be early on. But this is, the argument was simply that that's the minimum amount of money, and they didn't want to budge on that. They did give us a breakdown, but that was not, we weren't allowed to distribute it. And we're talking about that.
Well, just to add to that a little bit, the motivation for like not reducing the tuition rate is that for students who do receive outside funding, either like through the NSF or any federal agency, that is their dollars that comes into the university from outside institutions. So like, for example, to get an NSF, to support the NSF, that actually will pay your whole tuition as well as your expenses. And the policy for those institutions to actually pay that full tuition rate. So if Cornell offers a lower tuition rate for its late stage PhD students, and we are highly competitive for federal grants, then that's actually a reduction in real income for the university.
Yeah, and also to add another thing to that, there's also the fear that TIs would abuse the system because they wouldn't want to pay the full amount out of their grants for tuition, and then encourage their students to go on this reduced self-pay. If you look at the current form, there's wording to try and prevent that from happening, but definitely that was one concern.
My question is about the NSF example. After a few years into your program, you think you like get a master's degree and go along the way. I know you become an eligible for like the NSF.
You did bring up comparison to our community metrics. I love it. Do they charge an application as well? For example, we can sign up credits as much as we want, and we don't pay for credit. Do they do that the same way?
I don't know, but given that this is also reduced tuition that's available only later in the program, that would be probably after people are taking courses anyway. Jesse?
Same topic, peer institutions. You mentioned really briefly that we don't have the same endowments that like Harvard does. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if there was any other direct argument about why it's so much higher than our peer institutions. There was just like, you know, we're not Harvard, we don't have the money.
So the rationale that we got from them was partially endowment, but obviously like our endowment is closer to some of the other peer institutions. And the documents that they ended up drawing together, we also looked at like Michigan and Berkeley, which still managed to have lower reduced tuition rates. Part of the rationale, I think part of it has like, given how reluctant they were to give an exact fee breakdown of what the minimum cost per student was, I think that part of the rationale is that they couldn't actually ask their peer institutions for that kind of intimate information about how they break down the services to provide. So it's sort of administrative secrecy going on.
So we'll keep it to one more question to keep us on schedule.
Yeah.
How many people are actually attending? And what percentage of people are?
So this is a really good question. We don't have the numbers from the peer institutions, but definitely that's why going forward, I think it would be really behoove the graduate school to keep track of how many people are actually using it. Because if it's fairly minimal, I wonder if that they could legitimate reducing it so that these people can actually finish their work without having to incur additional financial burden. Because I think for the unspoken thing here is that, of course, people who are going past their fifth year are probably under a lot of duress to finish, and that's obviously on their mind, but to put this financial burden on them would probably even aggravate their time completion.
Okay. So we'll stop there for now. Thanks, Brian. And if you have more questions, of course, you'll be happy to answer them later. So. Okay, so all right. So last thing, I just wanted to mention about the final exam schedule. I sent out the scenarios to GPSA membership. I cannot present those scenarios here because this is a public forum, and I was asked not to distribute those publicly. I can say I recommended scenario one. So those of you who want to go back and look through that and see which one I issued my formal recommendation for today. I did mention that we would like to see some type of resolution between basically the fact that we were given 3 days to give the recommendation and we did not have time to meet at the full assembly before the final exam schedule was submitted. Also, it seemed that these scenarios were more concerned with undergraduate level concerns, such as time conflicts, things like that, not taking into account the fact that graduate students will sometimes be teaching classes and taking classes. So that's a conversation that we might have with people, with the registrar about this, people in charge of scheduling final exams for going forward and how we determine, or if the participation we can have with the final exam schedule discussion. So that's all I'll say about that. Going forward, we will now go into reports of officers and committee updates. From the executive committee, I don't really have much except to say that we'll be hearing from Dean Newt at our next meeting, and she'll be talking to us about the results of the working group on workers' compensation and student injuries. So we have that to look forward to 2 weeks from today. Okay, so next, appropriations, or do you want to wait until...
I'll take my time.
Okay.
Let me get to the budget.
Okay. Communications?
Yeah. Actually, I'm getting ready to get the first bug in the transfer out, and I wanted to encourage any committees or any groups to say, okay, if you have any questions, if we'd like included suggestions to you, by the end
of the Finance Commission? Student advocacy. I know Paul's not here. Is there anyone from the advocacy committee who'd like to make an update? Or give an update? Okay. So, faculty awards?
No.
Okay. diversity international students?
Because
Okay, so moving on then to elections. So we still have two positions which we need to fill. So we'll begin with the programming board chair before we move into nominations. Just want to reiterate that if you have reservations about this position, you won't be working alone. There is an entire programming board behind you, and plenty of people will give you advice on any issues which may come up. So I will open the floor now to nominations for programming board chair.
Can I give another description about it, remind them?
Okay, so would you like to give a description of what programming board chair does?
Definitely. So hello everyone, my name is Anne, and the programming board is the most wonderful organization. It's a great way to connect across different fields, across different schools, and to really give yourself the much needed break from academia that I think a lot of grad students want, but aren't sure how to achieve. We put on different events, monthly events like inter-school mixes at the Big Red Barn, where we mix random schools together, and we also have a great mentor, Catherine Holm. She's an associate dean. She's very active and supportive and helps us through a lot of the very swampy bureaucratic process of event planning. We also put on the grad ball in the spring. It was pretty successful last year at Museum of the Earth. I would recommend doing the exact same thing this year. So there's really not too much time you need to allocate in the everyday, just a little bit of setup here and there. And there is a board. Christy was on it. Lucy was on it. Angela was on it. Yeah.
Okay. So, again, floor is open for nominations or volunteers for the position of programming board chair.
I nominate Lucia Maria Munguia for Lucy. Sitting right next to me. She was on the board last year.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Okay. Seeing no further nominations, I motion to elect by unanimous consent. Okay. Are there any objections to electing Lucy as chair of the programming board? Seeing no objections, then congratulations. You're our new programming board. Alright. So, the next position which we need to elect is the University Assembly Representative. Are there any nominations or volunteers for this position?
I'd like to nominate Keita Bolu, the NBMB Representative.
Okay. Are there any further nominations? Seeing no other nominations, I motion to elect by unanimous consent. Okay. Are there any objections to electing Teja as our University Assembly Representative? Seeing none, congratulations to our new representative. And we have filled all of our new elected positions. So, all right. Then moving along. Is Jan coming? Yes. No. Okay. So, in that case, we'll move on with the agenda, which is the approval of the bylaws. Here you have Resolution 1 up on the screen. I went through the bylaws, and the only change I thought that was necessary was to update the section on the Finance Commissioner chair term. We passed a resolution to change this last year, but it has not yet been implemented in the bylaws on the website, and so that is change section 4.01A to read the term of office for the GPSA shall be from June 1st to May 31st, except for the position of Appropriations Committee and Finance Commission chairs, which will be from January 1st to December 31st. Previously, it did not include this Finance Commission's chair section, so it's just adding in that to this. So, are there any other, so I'll open for discussion now for, on this resolution. Anyone have any other comments about this resolution, changes that they feel need to be made?
Proposed amendment?
Yes.
Minor grammatic thing. First line of resolve, I have it read except for the position as opposed to except for the position. Let someone think of those one single position.
Okay. I'll edit on the paper to avoid that. Okay. So position. Okay. Are there so any further amendments to the resolution? Okay. Is there a second for that amendment to the resolution? Okay. Second is motion to approve the amendment by unanimous consent.
Second.
Any objections? Okay. So that amendment is approved. So now we're back to discussing the full resolution. Are there any further amendments?
Move to call the vote.
Okay. Is there a second?
Yes,
okay. Okay, didn't hear that. Okay, so to approve our bylaws, we actually will vote by roll, not roll call. Plackage, yeah. Only, okay, thank you. Point of information, only green, only voting members may vote to approve resolution. So, there's a motion to call the vote, so we will vote by raising our placards, so please, all those in favor of approving the resolution to approve the bylaw. All right, so, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 13. Okay, so that's 13-4, all against. Alright, so that passes 13-0. I'll have a better gavel next time. No.
Not yet.
Okay, so that will be the approval of the bylaws, and then from there we go to the approval of the budget. So now I'll yield the floor to Ian, who will talk to us about that.
Okay, as you heard, I'm Ian Small. I'm the Appropriations Chair, which also makes me the Treasurer for the GBSA. And the GBSA receives an allocation of the activity fee that we all pay once a semester, I believe. But that is a value of $81, and the allocation for the GPSA is $1.95, I believe. So for this budget, I've had to use an estimate of the number of graduate and professional students that have paid an activity fee. So the total number of graduate and professional students is 7,449. But that includes visiting scholars, which don't pay an activity fee. So I've estimated there'd be 7,100 grad and professional students. And if you see the document that was sent out last week, I believe that was 6,900 that I worked with. So we'll have to revise some of the figures based on this updated information. Mm-hmm. But using $1.95 per grad and professional student and 7,100 grad and professional students, that results in $13,152. And I used 95% of that just to allow for some uncertainty. And the GBSA holds some other additional assets in the form of rollover from the previous year. There is a reserve of $3,000 that was put aside for the Ivy Summit. But apparently now the grad school will be paying for the Ivy Summit when that is held. So we no longer save $1,000 each year, so you won't see that in the budget. That is a total of $20,481. And now I just want to show each group which received funding from the GPSA within the internal budget, and have, this will be an opportunity for anyone to make any comments on specific items, so committee chairs can ask for amendments. So there's a breakdown, as you might have seen in the Excel file, where committee chairs have to propose a breakdown of how they would spend that money, and that would be food for meetings, for special events that they're going to hold, and various other items. So that was it, the admin, I assume. I've spoken to most of the committee chairs, so I believe that most people are okay with the amount that is shown. But there's basically the previous few years' budget, and this is the current budgeted amount for the year ahead. So in most cases, they stay the same, except for some minor increases where committee sizes have changed and so on. So please feel free to speak up as I pass over each group.
Is there any comment for the
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Most of these are pretty specific, so if I don't know something, I'm going to assume it's okay. That one goes to okay. Finance Commission. This is now the funding that supports the actual committee and not what is distributed to the various groups. So, thank you very much, fun. But the group of people who have been helping to evaluate the budget and so on has grown, so that's the reason for the increase in the food funding. Faculty awards, I think there's...
You'd like a request for that?
Okay.
We would like more money. the cost of the physical award has changed in the last year, so can't tell you how much we need right now.
If you know.
We would like $50.
Okay. I think we'll get to the end and I'll show you how that will fix things, but that should be fine. So, student advocacy, Paul's not here, but he did let me know that things are okay. Diversity committee. No comment? Alright.
Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I do have one comment.
Okay.
So, what is our goal for the rest of the cost? Because that was not mentioned
in any of the shop. I don't know if there's anyone here who could give better information than me about this talk. Nicole, do you have anything?
I seem to recall that this is a proposed set of events that Shada was thinking about at the beginning of last year, which was in the previous budget. If I remember correctly, he was yes, several ideas for events that would happen throughout the year.
Yeah, so I would suggest that if you had that, you could pull it all under the category of diversity initiatives, basically. So things that you come up with, events that you're going to, you're planning to host. The Ivy Summit in NHGCS, this is to cover travel and attend, and we also pay our membership dues to these organizations. So there's a fair amount of funding for people to attend these things, and you can contact them, call them, call them. Well, bye. The way it breaks down now, we have a total projected revenue of $13,152 and total budgeted expenditures of $14,300, which gives us a deficit of $1,148. Now, that is not to be concerned about because going into this, there's been historically a rollover going on from year to year. We only usually spend about 80% of our budget, so that should be okay. And we are supposed to have these rollover sums in reserve, so if we did happen to use more, I think it would be prudent for us to bring down those reserves or spend them on other things, because otherwise next time byline funding is reviewed, would be why do you need so much money if you're not spending it. So in the end, at the end of the financial year 2015, it should be 19,332, and that's if we did have a deficit of 1,148. And that's it.
Okay. So, so I guess now we should. So there's only one change that was mentioned. So then I guess we will then motion to amend the current budget as proposed to give $50 extra towards the awards, the physical awards, and given out by the faculty awards committee. Okay. So I will, then we will vote on this by unanimous consent just for the amendment now to have, give $50 extra towards the faculty awards. Are there any objections to that amendment? Okay, seeing none, then that amendment is passed. So, I guess now the floor is open for discussion of the internal budget.
Well, I guess since the Let's Talk has been interrupted, and it's super unclear about what it is, do you have any idea how many of the public meetings will be happening? And if there could be a role under the category of every initiative, is there a possibility of discussing that?
Let me talk to Shabu about that directly. I know that the Let's Talk meeting has been recently, I think they're available every week. But I hope that's why we were supposed to be at the meeting, but we're distributed to the program. So, we get back to that.
So, sorry. So, was our Let's Talk subsidized in the internet?
I think they were separate things that I think that was what Chavez happened to call a set of meetings that he was.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I think. I hope that's not incorrect, but that needs to be under question.
Okay.
Then let me make sure they rotate from him again. I'd be willing to respect with you that person to be on the future.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, I believe if these events don't go forward, that money will just be part of our rollover budget anyway. Okay. So it shouldn't, so since we're already projected to have a decent amount of rollover, it shouldn't, I don't envision that should be a problem. Okay. So any further comments or amendments? Yes.
Question, sorry, can you just quickly explain the movement at the bottom of the chart and project it?
Okay, sure. So that would be that we take the deficit, the difference between what we're going to get from the activity fee and what the budget will cost us, and you add that to the rollover from last year, the Ivy Summit savings, and the previous year's rollover, which I'm not sure where exactly it is, but that's what you're the total you're going to.
I have a question.
Yes,
go ahead. So, out of the activity fee, we spend $195 on the internal budget. Is that
correct?
Yes. Okay, so, is there any, we can find information about the breakdown of our activity?
Yes, it's available. That's, the Appropriations Committee deals with that side of things. So, I believe it's on the website right now. If you search for it, will be the previous allocation. That will be updated. But if you looked in previous meetings, like last year, the new allocations were approved. So there is a breakdown, a dollar amount per group that gets received, and yeah.
Any clarification, that's cornell.com, right? Not the assumption. Yeah.
One little piece of information that I was questioning about was that the activity fee has to be a whole dollar amount, and last year there was one minor change in that the Cornell Cinema was stated as $10.05, I believe, but there was a minor change and then it became $10. Actually, so if you could check and see on the website, that was
requested.
$3,000.
Oh, just, but that's just for this year, or
is
that
total? No, that's total.
Oh.
So we're not, that is from previous years, withholding $1,000 per year, I believe.
Yeah.
So 3 years, I guess, of saving towards that.
Yeah, just the history of that. What used to be the case, it used to be the case that every 9 years, Cornell, with the GPSA, would actually host the Ivy Summit, and in order to save the host that conference, we put aside $1,000 every year. And then 2 years ago, the graduate school deans at all of the Ivy schools got together and said that they would support the events themselves, which meant that it freed up $1,000 from our budget annually to use on other things.
Yeah, what I would like to say is that I have contacted Gina about the rollover, and that's to find out whether it's accessible to us, which I think it should be, and how we can use those funds, and just how much there is, because it's not very easy to find out, actually. Yeah, besides from the document that I have from previous treasuries.
Okay, so are there any other comments, amendments for the budget? Not, then I will motion to call a vote. Okay. So again, this is a vote now to approve this resolution and therefore approve our internal budget. This is again voting members only.
For the GPSA charter, the Johnson Law and Med Schools are equalized as voting members at GPSA. For some reason, I'm the only one that ended up getting a green flagger, so I believe most of the law and the Johnson representatives are here today, so
okay.
I'm requesting another vote.
Okay. So.
I think actually there's only one voting member for the professional schools, but you will have like three
voting. I think there's three voting members.
And the
charter. Yeah, and the charter says there's three voting members.
So who is specifically appointed to be the voting member representative from the law school?
We currently don't have any officially appointed voting members. At least as far as our records indicate, none were selected at the meeting where we elected the voting members last year. So
they do appoint them by their own mechanism.
Okay. They're not
returning. Okay. So
there's a separate election that happens at
law school. Okay. And were you elected as voting member? Okay. Okay. So if you want to update the status. And so you said for Johnson's business school, there's an option. Okay. So for today, I guess you can vote on resolutions today since you've been elected as a voting member. So talk to them as soon as you guys get that squared away. We'll update your status as a voting member. So thank you for that clarification. So then, yes, you can vote on this. So we'll now voting for approving our internal budget. This is for voting members only. Please raise your placards if you are in favor of approving the internal budget with the amendments for extra $50 towards the SPAC awards. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that's 15 in favor. Are there any opposed? All right, then that passes 15-0. Okay. So now I where's my agenda?
Janet.
Okay. So now we will backstep a bit before we enter open forum. That is presentation by Jan on fall financial literacy. Yes, we do. I'm very happy to say.
So, if somebody were to walk in right now and offer you $1 million for a penny, but every day for the next 30 days they would double the amount of the penny and give it to you, when would you take $1 million today or a penny today? Everybody knows the answer to this. How much would I be giving you in 30 days if I gave you a penny today and doubled it every day? We have to account for it.
in some way. So participating in this cash tab says pretty much beginning at 11:30, as long as it lasts, which we hope is until 2 o'clock, we get there early. And one of the things I think will be the best thing about this is we have offices at Cornell, but also from outside Cornell, at tables. But it's not going to say, for example, the graduate school. There's going to be a question there. And you walk up to the table and get information about like how to negotiate salaries, how to win a graduate scholarship, whether you need renter's insurance. The answer to that is yes, but we'll tell you the stories about the, you know, about why, you know, you need renter's insurance. What are free services available to you? Where can you find and fund child care? The little card I gave out to you lists about a third of what we'll have there. And there'll also be prizes and other kinds of giveaways. And snacks, free snacks. So we'll be sending you all an email, you know, through Richard perhaps, that you will share with the students you represent, because we think this will be fun, but also some serious information. I mean, how many of you have started saving for retirement? Oh, seriously? Okay, you don't have to come. Wow. How many of you feel like that you budget effectively and that you have as much money as you need or spending what you have right? Jeez Louise! I'm taking you to the wrong track, but this is great. We should have you come work the event and give information. So we'll have lots of information, some very practical things, and the free lunch, and the t-shirts and the gifts. But one other thing I'll say very quickly is we would love to have GTSA represented at the table. So, like Jennifer May suggested, we have some of you come and talk about free and fun to, or low-cost things to do in Ithaca. But if you can think of a fun something, and we'll give you a table, we'll give you a lunch, we'll give you a t-shirt, and our undying gratitude. If you want to, and an enthusiastic audience of undergraduate and graduate students. So if you all would like to be represented there, we're saving the table for you if you want. And so if some of you have ideas, if you want to go through your leadership and let us know, we'll have a table set for you. Any questions? Questions about anything else other than state tax?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Anyone who wants to participate, feel free to email me, and I will see about how we can get that going.
We're also hiring some student workers. You know, if you're on a fellowship that prohibits you from receiving some pay, we'll give you an honorary. But we are hiring student workers that day. Somebody wants to come help.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
For those of us who can attend this, I mean, this is incredibly valuable information. Is there a website or something that you can refer to everyone?
Well, we have just created a website. It's not up yet, but it's going to have links to everything related to this. What we can do is also, as a follow-up to the event, for anybody who's registered who wants the materials electronically, and also, how many of you participate spring semester by coming to one of our events called Catch Course? And we have a series of 5 events. We're expanding that. It starts later in October. They're typically over lunch. Again, lunch is provided, and we bring in experts in various financial areas, savings, budget, credit, retirement, to talk about these issues. When the website is up, I want you to look, though. Cornell is doing really well in terms of number of research degree students who graduate either with no debt or when there is debt, it's very small. And I know I looked at those numbers very recently, but I don't have off the top of my head. Cornell also has one of the lowest among undergraduate students loan default rates. And so I think we were funded by the Council of Graduate Schools to some degree because we're not starting from zero. We're starting from being in a really good place
with our students. We give the state the law of the best school for the MBA students who do graduate with debt. And I want to say the average is about $68,000, which looks like the range is high as well. But you all, given even by the show of hands, you guys are doing a good job, even with your retirement.
Other
questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, I guess with that, we'll now progress to open forum. Anything else people would like to bring for the assembly? All right. Then is there a motion to
adjourn?
Second. Okay. We are now then adjourned.
Yeah.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.